As a church family, we are required by our bylaws to have an annual quote-unquote business meeting where all of our financial records are made available and things like this, and to have a discussion. And there's things that in our church polity that the congregation gets to participate in and is responsible for, and all of these different things. And for the last 3 weeks, we have presented to you the basic financial information and have asked that if anybody has any questions, that they would just email us at the church council, that we would actually be able to address any of those questions publicly this morning. And we didn't receive any particular questions, no feedback on it. I think the information was pretty clear, except for one mistake on the information. If you look at the pie graphs where it says connections, unrestricted giving, that's not unrestricted giving. That is what our those were our expenses based off of our unrestricted giving. And then the restricted giving is whenever you donate towards a specific cause or towards a specific project. So like backpacks outreach, missions outreach, building fund, benevolence, all of that is considered extensions giving, and you can see how that money was spent. And so for 3 weeks, you've had the numbers and seen the pictures. And I think overall, it shows a really healthy picture of our church. In fact, some highlights that I wanted to point out to you is that we, this year, in addition to our regular giving, our tithes and offerings, we were able to give away almost $11,000 in these first 8 months. These numbers are reflected through the month of August. We were able to give away almost $11,000 already to our community in our different projects. We pay a tithe of our income towards our denomination that helps our larger church family in the U.S. do things like plant churches and help struggling churches, that just make an investment, just like you do with your personal money, to the investment of our family and to our ministry. We as a church live by that same principle by giving 10% of our general undesignated tithes and offerings to our larger church family. That helps with all of these different things. This year, it's crazy that we're coming up on a year, almost a year, but the first Sunday of December, when I called Ty on a Thursday morning, "Hey, you got the trailer?" And it was like a Abbott and Costello routine. "What trailer?" "Our trailer." "No, I don't have the trailer. Do you have the trailer?" "Well, why would I be calling you if I had the trailer?" And we both ran over to the office to discover that our trailer full of gear had been borrowed for kingdom purposes. We were able to donate so much of our equipment, about $30,000 worth of equipment. We're able to see that spread out into the community for different outreach purposes, if you know what I mean. And so one of the things about it is that all of these obstacles or the tests that we walk through are things that God uses, right? That in all things, God is working for the good. In the meantime, we repurchased some stuff, and it actually increased our relationship with the school. We received a total settlement of about $35,000 from the insurance claim, of which we've only spent about $12,000 just to rebuy microphones and signs and pianos and computers and things like that. So we still have $23,000 in the savings just put aside for that. But more than just those kinds of things. I like to think about some of the things that also we were able to participate in that doesn't get a lot of promo. In fact, I don't know that we, last time we talked about our church's involvement with the Gideon's International was at our Shine Banquet last year. We're responsible as a church for, if you put it this way, what is the hotel that is right there off of Oso Parkway? Is it Hampton Inn? Fairfield Inn. Think about it this way. We put all of the Gideon Bibles in every room in the Fairfield Inn this last year. That would be the equivalent of that. Amen. Right? And in fact, one of our church family members is a part, because of last year's Reach Banquet, decided to become a Gideon. We provided practical needs to pastoral leadership. I never thought I would get to say this in my lifetime. To pastoral leaders in Cuba. Who ever thought that we would get to participate in what God was doing in what has been, for my entire lifetime, a closed country. And thankful to just our community partnerships, we were able to, and it sounds so crazy, what kind of pastoral support were you able to do? It was the largest women's convention that was ever held in Cuba. The Women's Ministry Convention. And you know what they needed more than anything? Our ladies remember. What was it?
Underwear.
A pair of underwear for a woman in Cuba costs $14. It is 1 month's salary. And how simple was it that we were able to send, we sent like 300 pairs of underwear. A pair was given to every woman that came to the conference, and they came from all over the island. We were able to support and connect with a church that was planted in Ireland. In fact, we didn't even formally make that a big request. We introduced Tim and Christina O'Toole, who are Foursquare missionaries in Galway, Ireland, that have invested 4 years of their lives into just making connections in the community. No big evangelism outreach. They developed a nonprofit that is called Serve the City, that whenever the city has an event or has something that needs to be done, they call Tim and Christina. Tim and Christina rally their unsaved or Catholic friends to just serve the community. And out of that, Doces Nua has been birthed, New Hope. A number of us were just like, man, we watched one video and said, I want to give to them. And we've had a number of people commit monthly to contributing to this new church plant that is only now a few months old in Ireland. But not just around the world, even here. As we have decided to partner with Family Assistance Ministries in San Clemente, we have been able to direct and connect people to the resources that they need. Temporary housing, help paying their utility bills, financial counseling. All that has happened through our intentional partnership with this ministry down in San Clemente. So it has been a pretty amazing 8 months. But health is not just about these numbers. Just like church is not about our attendance numbers. Health is about us, right? This is us. This is our story. This is what God has been doing in our lives. It's not about our location or our organization. It's about the relationships that have been built and the effect that we have on each other and around the world around us. And so today, really, this idea of being better together is being able to say, this is us. And this is who we are. And this is worth celebrating. So I've asked two people to share what being a part of this church has meant to their lives. And so would Monica Esquivel and John Alisi, you guys will come on up. And they're each going to take a few seconds and minutes and share why they love being a part of...
We have to hold hands going
on. No, you don't. Although Monica does, even though she makes presentations every day, you might want to stay there for moral support. All right.
So I came to Hills Church exactly 2 years ago. Actually, not exactly, in October. It'll be 2 years. And, you know, it's interesting because the way that I got here was that it was a time in my life where I had a lot of change and had to kind of pray about where I was going to be. And when I decided to come out here from Santa Clarita, I had been going to a Foursquare church up there that I loved. And so I said, oh, I'm so excited to find out what my Foursquare church is going to be in, you know, Orange County. So I looked it up, and I remember coming for the first time here, you know, when I found it. And I remember also that I was praying, you know, I was like, God, you know, let this be your will for me, and that this is what you want for me. And so in praying for that, it was interesting because one of the things that I was thinking was, this is part of my dream to come out and be closer to the ocean, you know? And then also, it was just something that I felt was a passion for me to come out and teach. One of the things I did is I transferred jobs, so I was teaching, I would be teaching. And so these were sort of my passions, and I thought, how do my dreams correlate with what God wants in my life? And so that's what I kept asking God. I was like praying. I remember driving out here going, how is it that my dreams or passions correlate with what God wants to do in my life? I couldn't put it together. And it's funny because, well, I'm a fairly newer Christian. Well, okay, 10 years, I can't really say new anymore, but, you know, everybody's journey is different. But I remember when I walked in and picked up my little program, you know what it said? It said, oh my gosh, I'm going blank.
Dream again.
Dream again. And I thought, oh my gosh. It was like God answering. And it was exactly an answer to that. That's what the service was about. It was exactly about how God's dreams and passions are given to us for his purpose in our life. And so I was pretty wowed. And that, in addition to that, God had placed in my heart probably, well, some years back, it had been probably 4 years or more, that God put on my heart that I should go to Africa. And I remember praying about that and journaling and thinking, but God, why Africa? And I remember him speaking to me like, that they need the most help. So it was something that was seated in my heart. And so I wasn't able to go then. I never had the opportunity. So guess what I find out, like, the first day that I'm here talking to Pastor Jeff. I don't know how it happened. He's like, oh, we're going to Africa this year. And I was like, oh my goodness. So I knew that this was part of God's plan. So I did go to Africa last year, and it was one of those life-changing experiences. It was really wonderful. The other thing that was really amazing coming here was how I was welcomed by everyone. You know, everyone, I'm gonna get emotional, which is easy for me. I you know, everybody knows I cry at the drop of a hat, but just the way everyone welcomed me with open arms. I still remember, because when you're alone and you come to a new place, to be welcomed with open arms is a big deal. And I still feel that warmth and that love and that authenticity from everyone. And you know, thirdly, so I really, when I say that this is my church family, I mean it from my heart. Sorry. So the other thing is that I've also had the opportunity to grow here. And trust me, I have so much more to go. But the people that have taught me so much, Jeff and Jamie, Pastor Jeff and Jamie and Justin, and I mean, their family is just amazing. And they give so much. And I'm just so grateful, because I've been able to grow, I say, the most in the past year. Well, now I guess it's been 2 years. Personal growth and growth in my faith, the most that I have in the 10 years. So I'm very grateful. Thank you all for your love.
Thank you. I'm going to capitalize on Monica. You know, a missions trip really is life-changing, and one of the things that actually we are considering is actually going to visit Tim and Christina this year in Ireland. And so if that drops in your heart, just wanted to drop that in. And the one thing that I really want to commend Monica for is that she didn't stay on the outside. You know, we don't have a lot of opportunities, right? There's not, we don't have a daily schedule where you can choose one of 18 groups that meets on any day of the week. But relationships are significant. And I promise that we'll grow, you'll change, if you'll risk the investment of commitment to relationships and taking advantage of the opportunities. Monica has done that and continues to do that. And now she's one of the people that God uses to help bring those connections. So, John.
So I'll give you my quick story about how I got here.
10 years ago.
Has it been?
Ten years and 9 months.
10 years, 9 months, 3 days, 47 hours. But nobody's done. So I was playing, I'm a musician, I'm a drummer, for those of you who probably haven't figured it out yet. And I was playing in a little jazz workshop at Saddleback College. And the guy was a piano player there, and he said, "Hey, are you available on Sunday to play at my church?" "Sure, okay, I'll come by." He said, "Well, we're having a Wednesday rehearsal, and then Sunday we'll play." So it worked out, and it was a very good ensemble at the time. And I said, "Well, this worked out really well." And so the whole service went down, and everything was fine. And at the very end, he goes, "Hey, could you come back next week?" "Sure, okay, I can, 2 days, that's not a big deal." So that was 10 years ago. And it's, Jeff asks me every Sunday if I can come back next Sunday. It hasn't changed much.
Don't worry, John, I ask Jamie that every Sunday too.
I think she asks too.
Absolutely.
So I think I'm gonna just put out one word that the church has influenced me, and it's grace. And probably something that's not easy for me. None of you fortunately knew me in high school.
But can anybody else say amen?
Pretty old. I've always been kind of a hothead, fly off the handle, you know, it's just a family tradition, and I learned it really well. And, you know, that can get you into trouble, especially driving around town and in relationships and in personal interactions, in business conferences, in business meetings. You know, it doesn't serve anybody very well. And learning to be gracious and learning to temper that crazy personality, not that it's crazy, but it can lead to some crazy things. And you know, it just wasn't a conscious change on my part, but I think just being around the church, being around the guys, the men's group, and listening to Pastor Jeff, you know, you pick up on that. And I just, you know, maybe it's an age thing, maybe you mellow out as you get older, but, you know, some of that stuff that when I was in my 30s and 40s that was really important, it just does not become worth the headspace and the angst and the anguish and the trauma that it brings on, or potential trauma. You know, I've probably had at least 6 freeway altercations where we almost pulled over and started fighting, you know. And you think about that and you go, boy, that is just so crazy. There is nothing to be gained by that at all, you know. And so I'm just really moderating that stuff to the point now where I just go, you know. You want to pass me? Go. You want to come in front of me? Go. You want to run through the red light? I don't care. I mean, I care that you're doing crazy stuff, but I'm not going to let it eat me up inside. I'm not going to gun it. I'm not going to race it to the corner. I'm not going to run, cut in front of you and slam on the brakes, which I still do, but I
much less than I did in the past.
But grace has it's settling in. You know, it takes a long time to get through a personality change or a lifestyle change. And I think, you know, I keep working at it, and I'm getting better and better at it. And hopefully over the next, however many years I'm around, you know, I get to the point where it just never bothers me. You know, I just want everybody to feel, go, enjoy. Get on with your life. I don't know you. I hope you have a great day. Go 80 miles an hour. It's okay. Enjoy it. And don't kill yourself or don't kill me or anybody else. So being gracious, I think, has been a real benefit to being here.
Sure. I didn't realize that our driving was such a measurement of spiritual growth, but it is. And the changes that take place in our life. And so for the last few weeks where we've had the tables back out, we've made time just to talk around the tables a little bit. And we're going to take a little time to do that this morning, just for 5 minutes or so, and ask you to let's see if I can get this working. John, if you wouldn't mind going down 2 slides for me. There's some table talk. Tell the people on your table, how'd you find Hills Church? And maybe what do you like about being a part of it? So why don't you turn around and take a few minutes to do that. We'll have an additional 1-year term that will continue to remain throughout this year. And so today, we have the opportunity of introducing an individual for ratification for our church council. Our process is this. We trust the ministry teams and the leaders that we are able to kind of hear from God. And so we pray. We look at people who meet the criteria to be on the church council. Of their personal life, we look at their financial investment in the church, and we look at their faithfulness. And we ask the Lord every year, who is it that you would have to come and be a part of that team? And once we get a consensus, a unity among those teams, then we actually invite that person to take some prayer, some time to pray. If they don't feel that that's the season for them, then we go back to pray. We find the next name, and then we invite that next person. I have the pleasure of presenting to us today Jared Stevens. Jared and June have been a part of our church for almost 7 years, although their child has only been a part of our church for just a little over 1. We're glad that he finally came around and decided that. Jared is the Director of Strategy, Search, and Evaluation for GE Healthcare. Does a lot of kind of really cool PhD kind of stuff. But he and June, when we asked them, June was so key in helping us make our transition here, and have been longtime members, and we just really felt that Jared would be an appropriate person to step into the assignment that Larry has. So, this is where membership comes in, because you're only allowed to cast a ballot if you are a member. So there's a blank sheet on the on your table, and what I would just add, this is what we call a ratification. So it's kind of a thumbs up or thumbs down for those of us who are members and know Jared. All we're going to ask you to do is either write yes or no on your paper and just fold it in half.
Okay.
If you're signing that paper today, yes, you may go. Okay. Raphael is offering $5 per yes vote for Jared,
He's helping to delay his invitation to the church council for another year. Thanks. So Gary's going to come around and pick these up
from you. Jared will be serving a two-year term that will commence upon approval, or our next council member will serve for a two-year term that will conclude in September of next year. Now, one other thing that is responsible for part half of membership is what we come in today. And I need your attention for 5 minutes so we can go eat. Because we as a family make decisions together. I remember the news 4 years ago when we introduced the idea that the church building that we had been a part of for almost 15 years, that due to circumstances beyond our control, the city of Laguna Niguel having to redevelop the whole area, that we ended up having to move from the location that had been our home for more than 15 years. I'm grateful for the leadership who actually had the foresight to develop that property and to make it our home. And even though we never owned it, we benefited from having a location like that. And man, we are grateful for the opportunity the Lord has given us here to really plant us again in Laguna Niguel. I am grateful to say that our reputation with the school is one of great affection and appreciation. And we've worked hard at cultivating that. I mean, what a blessing once our trailer got taken and the school offered to let us just store stuff in our room, and the relationship that we have has been great. But it's been 4 years. Actually, we're coming up on completing our fifth year here meeting at the school. And I got a call on Wednesday from one of our other Foursquare churches that actually had an extension campus that was down near our way. Bridge Church in Rancho Santa Margarita had inherited a property in an industrial park just off of Cabot Drive between Crown Valley and Oso Parkway. It's about 6,000 square feet of building that is built out with a sanctuary that has a max capacity of 120, that has plenty of a beautiful nursery and preschool space that would be conducive to hosting our offices there. And historically, Hills Church has always been really good at having people over. That's what I call it. You know, people who are good at having people over to their house. And that historically has been one of the things that we have been really good at, sharing what we have and making it available for other groups to use. And it's been more challenging as we only can now rent space on an as-needed basis. We're grateful for our offices that we share with SEMA, Surf Industry Manufacturing Association, how that has lasted us. But this is a church facility that already has a conditional use permit. It is already in the name of the International Church of the Foursquare Gospel, so even the leasee would not have to be changed. The church council, Jamie and I, swung by a few days ago when we heard about this. Joy and James have visited onto that little campus. Mike and Jan actually have visited to that campus. And we're starting to just wonder if the Lord has something, has a shift for us. We currently spend about $3,200 a month on our facility costs, renting here every week the office space that we rent from SEMA and our storage unit. At the new facility, there is a Hispanic church that meets and rents two nights a week, Friday night and a Sunday night. They currently already rent the facility for $1,600 a month. The total nut on, if we were to consider this, would be about $6,000 a month, plus about $400 or $500 a month in utilities, depending on the utility cost. So we're looking at about double what our output is right now.
What that would mean is that we would need to see about an increase in our giving by about close to $2,000 if this is something that the Lord would have us do. Now, I introduce this on a very cursory surface information for two reasons. One, just so that we can pray. We don't have all the details. This actually just came about on Wednesday afternoon. So this is brand new kind of information. So there's not a lot of stuff to be kind of answered. I've given us the big picture. But in that time, the Lord gave Jamie a picture, and it's actually going to be kind of our series that we headed into for the month of October. Start going out into the deep. It's from the story of Jesus walking along the shore and finding, being pressed by the crowd. And I think that it is funny that the fishermen are kind of cleaning their nets. They're kind of done. They've settled in for the night. And I love this picture as it's presented by Luke. The picture is that Jesus steps into the boat first and then asks the fishermen to push him off out into the water so that he could preach. And I always think that Jesus is always kind of one step ahead of us. Right? And he gets into the boat, Peter pushes them off, and they preach, and they come back in. And they go back to putting their nets away. And Jesus says, no, I want you to go back out. He said, well, we kind of know what we're doing. We have this thing. It's like, no fish are coming out at this time. Right? We're professionals. We know what we're doing. And Jesus says, no, I want you to go back out. They just put everything away. They just got kind of everything done. They made the adjustments that they need to make, and they go back out. And this time, there was only one simple instruction. Put your net on the other side. You wouldn't think that the other side would make that big of a difference, but the result was so much, a large enough catch that they would call their other partners in to join them. Well, it'll take time maybe unpacking what that means for us as individuals in our life, what it means to let Jesus step out ahead of us, what it means to kind of be wrapped up, we think, when God asks us to do something more, what it takes for our mind shift, where we've always done things one way and God asks us maybe to consider that there would be another way that doesn't even seem that different. But it's all about our obedience. Maybe there's another side of the boat that in this upcoming season that the Lord might be inviting His church to be a part of. Regardless of all that. And we'll have more information. Feel free to email me with questions. Feel free to email me with impressions. Some of you, as you're thinking about this, and you don't often think that just because the radio is playing in the background, that the next thought that you have might be from the Lord, but sometimes it actually is, right? Because doesn't God's, I think the scripture says that the Holy Spirit lives in us, right? And that there are some times when we are people that the God that is in us begins to work in us, begins to speak to us. And maybe you just already have some impressions. Maybe you already have you feel the Lord stirring your heart about something that you may want to do. Over these next few weeks, we're going to make this journey together, and we're going to see what it is that God is doing. It may or may not be the solution for us, but what it is it's an initiation of a new season and a new thing that God is wanting to do. It's not time to just wash and put away our nets for the day so that we can wait for the next day to start. Maybe it's time to pull the nets that we just cleaned and be ready to get them dirty again. And that requires a whole new level of faith and a whole new level of effort, a whole new level of energy, but a whole new level of reward. So with that said, I'm going to close our gathering today. I want to thank you for your time. I know these aren't always the most inspiring gatherings, but I really pray that today would be. That we would walk away with a sense of hope, right? Hope is us doing the daily work as if we've already possessed the promise that God has guaranteed for us. That we would live with a sense of faith. That this is not just life as usual, but that God intercepts our lives. He uses us in ways that when we look at it in the big picture, we're like, that was us. That was me. I got to be a part of this, or God used me like that. See, that's what really is important about our journey together. And that you would leave with a great sense of hope about the of anticipation of what God has for us as a church family as we begin to walk out the process that He has for our lives. I don't often ask us to do this, but maybe you would just join the hands of the people around you. And I'm just going to give you a second to, under your breath, maybe just pray for them. That the Lord would increase their sense of hope, that they would be filled with joy and peace. That faith would rise in their hearts, and that they would anticipate great things that God is wanting to do in and through them. And then I'll conclude us with prayer this morning.